Saturday Meditation, November 21st, 2009. Our question this evening is, in our culture, the acquisition and use of power by women is often discouraged from childhood onward. Would you please speak to us on the most appropriate use of one's power, both in the protection and defense of the self, and in service to others in general, but more specifically, as it applies to women, for one who is seeking to live the law of one?
We are those known to you as the principle of Akul. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, in whose service we come to you this evening. We have greatly enjoyed listening to your discussion this evening and are most happy and privileged to be asked to join your circle of seeking and to speak about power, and especially the power of the feminine principle. Before we address that subject, however, as always, we would ask of each of you who hears or reads these words that you employ your discrimination and your discernment, choosing those thoughts which we share that seem good to you, and allowing the rest to fall away. In this way, we shall feel free to share our humble opinions without being concerned that we might infringe upon your free will in some way, or interrupt the rhythm of your spiritual seeking. We thank you for this consideration. To enter into the question of the right use of power, it might be helpful to consider the concept of power itself. Within your physical lives, there is the simple concept of physical power. Strength in the arm. The ability to manipulate tools and to saw boards or hammer nails or lift heavy objects. Simple muscular power. In the metaphysical world, these connotations remain when speaking of power. However, the hammer is the hammer of focus. The sword is the sword of intention. The weight is the weight of desire. So that metaphysical power is that ability of the focused and disciplined personality to set and keep an intention and to do work in consciousness. between these two definitions or types of power. There is a kind of power that is emotional and that has to do with one's intention to be of service either to the self or to others. This is not a pure or clarified kind of power, but rather is a reflection of the values which a particular society or culture find persuasive. Thusly, entities who wish to be movers and shakers on the world scene, as this instrument would say, cultivate personal power. They find ways to have influence over others. They find ways to manipulate others. They find ways to accomplish the goals that they have chosen. The metaphysical or ethical value of such goals is nearly always quite mixed. And this is why we place this subjective type of power in a separate category. By and large, when people think about power, they think neither of physical strength or metaphysical strength, but about the somewhat sticky and quite complicated ways of political and economic power. Power meaning influence. Power meaning the ability to press one's will on others. Lastly, when we speak of the right use of power, we wish to be clear that we are not speaking of the worldly ability to wield influence in the halls of economic and political decision making. Were we to speak upon that subject, we would not be able to bring metaphysical and spiritual principles to bear. Rather, we would be speaking of the virtues of service to self polarity as opposed to service to others polarity. There is a tangential bearing of this type of power on metaphysical power. However, as one presses into the deeper levels of what power truly is, metaphysically speaking, the discussion would fall apart, since worldly power is so mixed in polarity. Let us now, then, speak of third density, the density of choice, density where the great apes who began Third Density with their instinctual ways. Have through thousands of your years and hundreds of incarnations attempted to become human. It may be said that there are many among your people who have never fully become human. They have rested with the second density instinctual values of the great apes. The defense of the clan. The gathering of resources for the survival of the clan. And the protection of the clan from any perceived threat. To be human is to become aware of who one is. It is to become self-aware and to behold within the self that ethically motivated being into whose fragile, temporary home, the body and the mind, has been poured infinity and eternity, so that each self-aware human being is a fully formed spark of the one infinite creator. When an entity becomes aware of the infinite reaches of the self, and begins to perceive the surrounding milieu in terms of its possibilities for ethical choice. The creation of a fully functioning human being has begun. The citizen of eternity has awakened from the sleep of earth and gradually that entity begins to become aware of the power of the thought within, that great original thought of unconditional love that has created all that there is, that thought, which is also yours to use, to create your universe, your way, your truth. Metaphysical power is inherent in the awakened human. Even a small child begins to test the limits of his power. His power to say, mine. His power to say, no. is power of choice. As the body within incarnation grows to maturity, it is the plan of the Infinite One that the mind within also grows and becomes more self-aware. It is hoped, and it is pressed upon each spark of the Creator by the very plan of His incarnation, that choice points shall come before that human's eyes and heart and mind, giving each entity practice in being human, in making the choice of how to serve. For service is inevitable. No matter how little a human being wishes to serve, the very nature of third density places each seeker in a series of points of choice and asks that seeker, how shall you use your power to choose? Third density, then, is built upon dynamic opposites. Male and female. Light and dark. Radiant and magnetic. Positive and negative. It is such an obvious feature of third density that one of your society's greatest cliches is, there are two kinds of people. And then the person will say, those that do this and those that don't do this, or those that do this and those that do that. Those that are optimists and those that are pessimists. Those that like to cook and those that don't. There's one after another way of looking at the state of humanhood, and it inevitably involves the minds making a distinction between two ways of being. Many are the creations of the Father that have played out their third density in an atmosphere in which there was far less freedom of choice. Or to put it another way, far less confusion than in your particular sublogos' version of third density. Where the veil does not drop entirely, the hints and inklings that give an ethically motivated seeker the ability to make choices clearly is enhanced. However, when there is less of a veil and less true freedom of will, the third density experience takes quite a bit longer. For there is no intensity to taking a test when one knows the answers. It was this sub-logos' choice to create an extremely heavy veil and complete free will. Therefore, as humans attempt to become more fully human and to make ethical choices with clarity and precision, they have no proof that what they are thinking is correct, but only the faith within that believes against all apparent adverse suggestion that the universe is indeed a universe of love, and that making choices that enhance love and enlarge compassion shall be the way in which power is developed to do work in consciousness. Further complicating the picture is the genetic manipulation at the beginning of this master cycle of experience upon your planet Earth, of the great ape bodies, which are the bodies intended to grow gradually into third density and gradually into humanhood, by one of the guardians of your planet. It was felt that it was worth an experiment to see if the physical and mental capabilities of the great ape could be enhanced, therefore giving those entering humans far more of an opportunity to make progress in a rapid manner. Here, however, there was a signal lack of awareness of precisely what the enhanced bodies and minds of the humans of early third density would do in reaction to these added enhancements. Imagine the dismay and the regret of that guardian whose name was Yahweh when it was discovered that rather than seeking to become human, the entering entities of third density sought only to protect the clan, gather resources for the clan, and defend the clan against threat. The instinctual inheritance of late second density. What ensued has been a ruinous, repetitive series of empires in which the male principle of aggression protection and control, created empire after empire after empire. And as the male principle, uninformed by the female principle, has no idea how to move from empire to love. Each empire has crushed itself under its own weight, leaving behind many who suffer, many who die in wars and aggressions, and who then must begin again to build a hopefully more sustainable, balanced society. It is against this background of that sticky power that builds empires that one can see that the feminine principle would be greatly to be feared, controlled, and placed under the heel of the male principle. For the female principle that would balance the aggression and the reaching is also that principle without which the male principle can literally not live. It is to the female principle that is attractive infinity and eternity. It is to the female body that the ocean of life comes. And it is from that ocean of life that the species of humankind is perpetuating. The male principle dies without the acceptance and the cooperation of the feminine. Indeed, viewed from that simple physical standpoint, power resides in the feminine rather than the masculine principle. On a very deep and usually unconscious level, this is a source of great fear and consequently that which is perceived to be so powerful, so necessary, must instead be reshaped to be weak, submissive, dependent, and always under the control of the male principle. Your entire planet at this time is heavily overbalanced towards the masculine principle. is desperately in need of balance. And we do not say simply that women should have more power, for we are not speaking on the level of literal men and women. We're speaking on the level of the two energies which, cooperating fully, create the balanced and perfected human. And the balanced and perfected third density milieu. It is not only men who need the feminine principle, but also women, that is, biological women, who need the feminine principle to be upheld, validated, and honored. When one is attempting to live the law of one, as the one known as Sonia has asked, one is attempting to live a fully human, fully balanced life, one that values both wisdom and love. Not valuing one over another, but looking always for that point of balance whereby the decisions that are made in ethical choice points are those decisions which enlarge and enhance unconditional love. The feminine principle is that which looks for ways to cooperate, ways to collaborate, ways to move in harmony and rhythm, to find and sustain an environment which does no harm, but only serves to improve and balance relationships and energy expenditures of all kinds. Now, how is one to promote that spirit of cooperation and collaboration within one's own being? Perhaps we might suggest that it begins with the way one treats oneself. The feminine principle is not a judgmental principle. It is a loving and merciful principle. And the first overbalancing of male energy that any awakening human might find shall be that point of judgment within the self, when a self-perceived error occurs. How do you handle yourself when you are in a self-perceived error? Are you judgmental? Do you say, "What a fool I am. I can never get this right. I should be ashamed of myself"? If so, you are reacting in an overbalanced male way. It is easy to judge. It is far more difficult to forgive. Yet we would ask you, is there anything to forgive when a child adds 2 plus 2 and gets 5? We would suggest that it is a matter of correcting the error and adding 2 plus 2 to get 4 next time. Thusly, begin to live the law of one by using your power to forgive, to begin again, to let go of that need to judge, that need to break through mistakes and force correction. As you begin to forgive yourself, you gain the power that comes with mercy. As you begin to see yourself as a whole person who has been known to make errors, but who is always far greater than the sum of the mistakes made, there comes into that self a feeling of dignity and self-respect. For you are no longer judging yourself on your behavior. You are beginning to judge yourself on your intentions and on your basic nature. As you become self-forgiven, be you biological male or biological female, there is awakened within you a self-perception that includes true power. For you know you have the power to understand and forgive. And you know when those about you impinge upon you in ways which may seem hurtful, that you have the power to stand on your self-forgiven feet and gaze at those entities at the soul level and forgive them. For you know that they know not what they do. And so your world begins to be self-forgiven. And your power grows. Your power to love. Your power to forgive. Your power to exercise patience and understanding. The definition of magical power is the power to create changes in consciousness at will. As you are self-forgiven and know yourself to be an instrument of love, so you change your consciousness. Each time you tune into that feeling of self-forgiveness and self-respect, you are changing the vibration of your entire energy body. And you are changing the vibration of planet Earth. As we so often do, we would like to point out that you have tremendous amounts of help available to you as you learn to live as a person of power and to use that power rightly. Your guidance system is with you, nearer than your hands or your heart. There are those entities about you which you have drawn to yourself because of who you are. As you vibrate in a certain frequency, you draw to yourself unseen companions who vibrate at that frequency. As you begin to raise your consciousness and begin to know who you are, a child of the Creator, a person with hands to reach in love, a person with a voice to speak in love, a person with a mind to ideate in love. Each frequency that you open calls unto you those whom some call angels. Others call inner masters. Whatever their name, these entities stand at your back like a backdrop of light. And as you become more aware of this help, you can lean into that help and ask for that help. Indeed, this instrument works with angelic energies each day as she rests in the waters of her bathtub. Because water is such a tremendously magnetic medium and can be charged with the love of those about you who wish to heal and help you. As you become more used to living as a magical personality and feeling your power, then you have the responsibility of using that power well. And we strongly suggest that the use of entering the silence is a very helpful resource to the project of centering yourself anew, afresh, each day and sometimes each hour or each minute. The Creator's name in some circles is I Am. Each of you is an absolute I Am. What shall you do with your selfhood? How shall you serve this is the challenge given to those in the density of choice on planet Earth. May you choose with your deepest heart to become you. We would ask at this time if there is a follow-up to this query before we open the session to other questions. We are those of Makua.
Actually, I have one question, and this might be related to what you have talked about. Before you finished up your comments, you underlined that thing which is the deepest heart. Sometimes individuals assume that they follow their desires that stem from that deepest heart, or that they think that this is the case. And sometimes what happens is that those individuals come across with frustrations, or there might be some sort of impediments that may stop those individuals to pursue their desires. What would you advise to those individuals, like in terms of handling those problems or frustrations? Or if you'd like to share different opinions on this issue, that would be really helpful.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool one. Believe we grasp your query, my brother, but because the hearing of this instrument is somewhat weak, we would like to restate your query and make sure that we grasp it. Is this satisfactory with you, my brother?
Sure, sure.
Thank you. What we believe that you ask is, when you are attempting to act from your deepest beliefs and your deepest heart, many times there are impediments that are thrown up, and frustrations and difficulties in following your heart. And you wish to know that, which we would say about that situation. Is this correct, my brother? We
yes.
are those at Bakul.
Yes.
Very well, then. We are sorry to repeat, but this instrument's ears are none too good, as she would say. My brother, we spoke earlier of third density as a kind of school. Each choice point is a point at which you are able to express your understanding of a certain point in this refinery of souls. And when that choice point has been met, patterns of energy are set up, which are as the tide going out and the tide coming in. Your decision is bred upon the waters, and it shall flow to you again, but not with you being at the same place. For there are no two tides the same, and you are not the same person at any two moments of your life. You are in constant flux. And the incarnational lesson upon which you've just had this test has set up a pattern that shall flow back to you with what this instrument would call a 10-minute quiz. Did you get that? Or were you just passing the test to get an A? That's the question. So, again and again, you shall get what seem to be challenges and resistances to your decisions that tests your ability to remain steadfast in your understanding of the basic question covered by the previous test. You see, my brother, in a moment of emergency, it may be possible for you to outdo yourself and be brilliant. Clarity and precision is yours, and you see how everything fits. And then, another day another week, another month, routine, boredom, a losing of focus can set in. And when it is very important to you as a soul stream that this particular incarnational lesson be met and balanced, the 10-minute quizzes can come fast and furiously one upon another. The test hasn't changed. The question hasn't changed. But it has hit you at a different point in your spiritual evolution. And it has hit you in a novel way. So that you begin to flex those powerful muscles of choice, not simply with the initial choice, but with the ramifications of that choice. It is not possible for us to generalize as to how this happens. Wherever you have undeveloped light within your being, what this instrument would call within your personality shell, that will be the target for temptation to slide away from the purity of your initial choice. There will be the temptation to doubt the self, or to feel that it is no use, I can't keep this up. Or if there is no particular emotional chink in your armor, there may be mental chinks or physical chinks, which shall then be thrown up against your set intention to serve the Creator. Consequently, there are as many different ways to practice those vibrational frequencies that enlarge love as there are people attempting to become fully human. There are many ways to be discouraged. There are many ways to be distracted. There are many ways to lose that feeling of flexibility and to allow disappointment to become bitterness. It is a very subtle thing sometimes, my brother, to see accurately into resistance. But one thing you may know for sure is that this is third density. There is always the dynamic between love and fear, light and darkness, joy and bitterness, unity and division. And you can see the light and the radiance of the choice for unity, for patience, for forgiveness, for belief in the self, and so forth and so on. May we answer you further, my brother. We are those of the cool.
No, thank you very much.
No, we thank you, my brother. May we ask if there is a final query before we leave this instrument and this group? We are those of the cool.
I have a query. I know this is somewhat of a self-based question, but would it be possible to tell me if the opposition I'm facing right now is coming entirely from within, or if there are outer sources working as well. I feel it would help me in the path I take to best overcome this opposition.
Oh yeah, those at Ukuo, and are aware of your query, my sister. My sister, may we ask you a query?
Yes.
Therefore, we would ask you, my sister, do you have a fairly certain knowledge of the true answer to this question? We are those at Ukuo.
I seem to think one thing at one moment and another at the next. I'm really not sure.
Oh, we are those at Ukuo. And in that case, my sister, there is just so far that we may go. The challenge which you face lies both in self-perceived chinks in the armor, which are of long standing, and of the attention of one who would distract you from serving the light. And therefore, we encourage you to be steadfast and to embrace all undeveloped life with a love so true and so pure that it sees the Creator. This technique cannot be insincere and still succeed. For if one loves because loving will conquer, then that is a service to self element within love. The releasing of all fear and the absolute adherence to the highest and best that you know, together with the calling upon that tremendous unseen source of unconditional love that surrounds you and this instrument that you wish to be, shall be your resources at this time, my sister. Please know that at any time you wish for us to be one which underscores that basic vibration that you reach in meditation, we are glad to join your meditation and to stabilize that undercurrent of unconditional love. It is our privilege and our pleasure, and you have but mentally to request it. May we answer you further, my sister? We are those at Ukuo.
No, that helps a lot. Thank you very much.
We are those at Ukuo, and we thank you, my sister. Dear brothers and sisters, it has been such a pleasure to be with you this evening and to be called to your circle of seeking. We thank you for this great privilege and for the beauty of your sacred space that you have created together. We leave you as we found you, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator, Adonai. We are known to you as those of the principle of Ukuo.